This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
There's a lot going on. And each of us with our own nervous systems, we have a varying capacity of resilience each day, right? Some days we have more capacity for dealing with things. Some days we have much less. And it's variable, right? It changes all the time because we're dynamic beings with a dynamic nervous system that is interacting with our own physiology and also the outer world and our relationships. And so I am curious if you want to just put a couple of adjectives or words in the chat. When you feel overwhelmed, what is your experience of that? So what I'm looking for is, like, you know, some people get very irritable when they're overwhelmed. Some of you might get sad. Some of you might get sleepy. Some of you might not be able to sleep. There might be, okay, so eating, agitated. Okay. I just kind of want to get a feel of the room here. Scattered, can't think straight, restless, nervous, lightheaded. Yeah, palpitations. Okay. It seems like distracted, hungry. Most of you are going in your sympathetic nervous system, except for grumpy, grumpy, quiet. That's more of a dorsal. Unable to sleep and need to keep moving. Ah, self-destructive. Yeah, hopefully that you'll have some tools, Jennifer, at the end of this. Sleeplessness. Yeah. Yeah, so there's this unsettling in our system, right, where we can't come to rest when there is a lot going on. And do you feel like it's a combination of personal and external things that are happening? Yeah, very tired. Yeah. It is exhausting to be vigilant all the time and to keep having to pay attention to all the overwhelm. Okay, so this gives me a good feel. Thank you all for sharing. So when we have overwhelm, it's often too much happening too fast, too often for too long, right? There's just too much going on. The speed is intense. The duration is too long. There's not enough break. The other part that can go along with overwhelm is we're not getting enough of what we need, right? We're not getting enough connection. We're not getting enough rest. We're not getting enough social nurturance, downtime. So we're having not enough for too long, right? There's a little bit of some lack of resources that occur when we have overwhelm. And with overwhelm, there can often kind of go along with it is a loss of safety or a feeling ungrounded, unstable, maybe, you know, not knowing what's coming, not knowing what's happening next. And so that lack of this sense of safety also contributes to our experience of being unsettled. When we're not feeling safe and secure, it's really hard to go to sleep, right? Because there's a part of us that's like always on guard, always kind of watching, right? If we have so much on our to-do list, we feel like we can't slow down, we can't stop. And so it's the engine is just running on high. It's like your pedal is to the metal. And that can lead to some deep, deep exhaustion. And what happens when we're in overwhelm for too long is our window of tolerance. You know, we want a nice wide window so we can move along in with capacity in our life. But when there's too much overwhelm, our window narrows. So we have a very small bandwidth with which to take in what's happening in the world. And it changes all the time. You know, if you've had a good night's sleep, you've got more bandwidth. If you have some loving, caring connection with someone, you have more bandwidth. If you laugh, if you can see beauty and wonder, even for a few moments during the day, you have a little more bandwidth. But for many of us, it's been a grind and there's just been too much input. And so our window of tolerance for some of us is getting smaller. And so then more things will feel overwhelming to us than usual. Right. So for those of you who've, this is, I think, my third time teaching on the Wednesday night, and some of you may know that I'm a neuro geek. I love the nervous system. And so when we're in overwhelm, it can kick us into our sympathetic nervous system, our fight flight system, which many of you described qualities of that when you feel overwhelmed, the restlessness, the unable to sleep, the wanting to eat, that kind of thing. And so, you know, that's more of a sympathetic nervous system state. And it's this kind of always looking for danger, always being on guard. So some of you may default to that in your experience of overwhelm. And some of you may default to the dorsal vagal system, which is kind of our freeze response. It's our kind of collapse. We feel maybe a little hopeless, a little helpless. We feel exhausted. We feel it's hard to get motivated, right? We just kind of crash down, and you know, we might end up spending a lot of time scrolling or just watching TV or just not having the oomph. And so that's more of a dorsal vagal response, that freeze, collapse, feeling kind of hopeless and helpless. And these are all normal responses to overwhelm. And so these are survival strategies and protective strategies. So the dorsal response, when we feel kind of collapsed, that's like our circuit breaker, you know, in your house for your electricity. When there's too much voltage going through the system, too many things turned on at once, the system shuts down, right? So it doesn't blow. So if you've been in high sympathetic pedal to the metal for hours, days, weeks, at some point you may, the circuit breaker may trip in your nervous system and you'll go into this dorsal. Or you may get yourself up for work and pedal to the metal for work and then collapse when you're back at home or on the weekends. So we all have kind of different combinations of how our nervous system responds. And the beauty of mindfulness is that we can pay attention to this. Our nervous system is just trying to manage and protect us as best as it can, given our particular genetics, our particular life experiences. And it's doing its best to keep us safe, to keep us going in the best way possible. And so when we can mindfully pay attention to what's happening in our nervous system, then we can apply some mindfulness tools to support ourselves. So the tools that I'm going to share with you in some ways are really self-compassion tools. They're skills that can help us come back, kind of reboot, right? Kind of hit the refresh on your computer website where it's like, okay, so we're going to do a number of these tools today. I'll describe them first so that your mind can be satisfied and so that I don't have to talk as much during our practice. And so some of you may be familiar with some of these already. But the first one is to orient. And orienting is something that many mammals and animals do, right? If you have a dog at home and they hear a sound, they're going to perk up and they're going to go running and see where the sound comes from. And then when they know what it is, oh, it's the garbage truck, or oh, it's the mailman coming, you know, to the house. Once they know, they can go and sleep again. Right? They don't keep thinking about, I wonder if the mailman's going to come again. Do they have that package that I've been waiting for? Is the garbage truck dumping stuff on the street? Is it going to be okay? You know, animals just like, oh, I notice something. I look around. I listen. I see what's there. And oh, that's what it is. And now I can come back into regulation. So we don't quite do that as humans. We have more active minds. So orienting is literally looking around in your present day, you know, your present environment, noticing sights and sounds and smells and textures. And it's a sensory practice that brings us into the here and now. And the beauty of it is as we turn our head and neck, as we look and listen, we're activating the vagus nerve, which some of you may have heard about. That's the rest and digest. It's the kind of the balancer of our system. And so orienting is a great way to come into the present moment so that we're not reflecting on the past of what happened or worrying about the future. It's like, ah, right now. Am I good right now? Am I safe enough right now? Am I, ah, this is where I am right now. I'm here. I'm with all of you. I'm in my office. I'm right here. So that's the first practice. And then we're going to do one called notice and name, which is very similar to labeling. So if you've taken MAPS classes, you might have, you know, like, oh, thinking, or oh, pain sensations, noticing pain, or I'm planning, or I'm, right? We do this labeling practice that where we're noticing and naming what's happening. When we do that, we bring on our left hemisphere and our neocortex. And it tends to downregulate the emotional component to it. Because this is what it is. Okay, I'm worried, I'm anxious, I'm tired, I'm joyful, I'm relaxed, I'm rested, I'm connected, I'm scared. Right? Whatever it is, it gives some sedating, kind of downregulating effect on any activation that we may be feeling. And then we're going to do a little bit of tracking sensations, noticing how overwhelm may feel in your body. And then we're going to do some resourcing, which is another skill. And resourcing, you may have heard from Rick Hansen, it's about savoring and bringing in the good. It's about wiring ourselves for wonder and for awe and for goodness. And it's you know, it seems like a simple practice, but it's very, very powerful if we embody a resource and feel the sensations. And the reason for that, and then we'll practice soon, is that when we are overwhelmed and activated, the protective functions of our system kick in, and that's happens in the lower parts of our brain, the brain stem and the limbic system. And when we feel sensations of a resourcing experience, whether we're doing it in real time or imagining it, we begin to change the input into that survival brain. And it's going, oh, I remember petting my dog, or oh, I remember, sitting under this beautiful tree. And we begin to savor, and it begins to change something in our nervous system, which can help us manage our overwhelm. All right, so I'm gonna put some poetry in too. And there will be some time for questions and answers after our practice. So come into a posture that you can be in for a good 20 minutes or so as I guide you through these practices. I'm going to begin our settling into practice with a poem. And I had spoken of safety earlier, that our system can't really settle unless we're feeling safe. We're safe enough, I should say, in this moment. And this is a poem from one of my favorite poets, Rosemary Wotola Traumer. And it's entitled Safety Net. So let these words wash over you and help you settle into practice. This morning I woke thinking of all the people I love and all the people they love, and how big the net of lovers. It felt so clear, all those invisible ties interwoven like silken threads. Strong enough to make a mesh that for thousands of years has been woven and rewoven to catch us all. Sometimes we go on as if we forget about it, believing only in the fall, but the net is just as real. Every day, with every small kindness, with every generous act, we strengthen it. Notice even now how, as the whole world seems to be falling, the net is there for us as we walk the day's tightrope. Notice how every tie matters. So letting those words resonate. This is a resourcing practice in this poem, which we'll end with also, but just sort of feeling the connection we're having in this moment. All the people in your life that support you and that who you support. And with a soft gaze, begin to orient to your room that you're in. Just sort of slowly look around, noticing familiar objects. And look in all dimensions, behind and above and below. And see if you maybe notice something for the first time again, maybe a picture or an object or a color. And then bringing the quality of ambient sound into your awareness. Maybe your air conditioner's running or your refrigerator. You can hear my voice. Maybe traffic outside your window. We're just noticing where our body is in this moment in time. We are here. We're all in this present moment with these sights, with these sounds. And then bringing in touch, maybe your hands are interlocked, or maybe your hands are on your thigh and you can feel the fabric of your clothes. Maybe you feel the support of your chair or your feet connecting in your shoes or to the ground. Coming back again and again to this moment through orienting. And as you do this, notice if your body feels, if there's even been a slight shift, maybe you feel a little slower, maybe the poem, the words washing over you, maybe softened something inside of you. Maybe you are enjoying the touch and the warmth of your hands connecting, or letting your weight really sink into your pelvis. And we'll take just a short moment to savor this. And then we're going to move to our notice and name practice. And so I'd like you to think about a time today or in the last few days when you felt a little overwhelmed. So make this a mild overwhelm, mild to moderate, not a massive overwhelm, if possible. But what I'm curious about is I'd like you to be curious about when you feel overwhelmed, how does it sit in your body? Does your gut tighten up? Do your shoulders come up to your ears and feel pain? Is your breath shorter? So this is a inquiry question of just noticing a recent mild overwhelm, and dear body, how are you holding this? How can I notice you? So maybe your jaw tightens, or your eyes narrow or get tense. Or maybe you lose contact with your body altogether. That can be pretty normal too. So just notice and name it to yourself. Ah, there's tiredness. Oh, yes, my tummy. Tummy gets really tight and it's hard to have good digestion. Or I get a little snippy and snappy. Just noticing this response to overwhelm with great kindness. Of course, you feel this way when there's so much on your plate. Of course, you get tired or grumpy or agitated. Of course, your belly tightens or your back hurts. And if possible, if you can name the polyvagal nervous system state that you tend to go in with overwhelm, pedal to the metal, sympathetic, fight flight, speedy, agitated, or dorsal vagal collapse. It's not necessary, but if you kind of have a sense, it's like, oh, I go dorsal when I'm overwhelmed, or oh, this week, yeah, I went really sympathetic. Yeah, of course you did. It was a lot this week, or yesterday, or today. And be curious if this notice and naming tool creates a shift or not inside. It may not. It might be like, ah, yes, this is what it is. Perhaps bringing your kind attention to how you relate to overwhelm, that kindness maybe shifts something in your system. And I'm sure you notice your mind wandering. That's really normal. So you can bring it back to the body sensation, if possible, of where the overwhelm has hit you this week. Was it in your heart, or your belly, or your back, or your shoulders, or your jaw? And if you have the capacity right now to be curious about the sensations without the storyline, see if you can just follow the sensations. Just keep tracking or noticing. Oh, there's a kind of a heavy ball in my belly, or there's a twisted muscle in my shoulders or neck. And see if you can just stay with the body sensation for a bit. And notice if anything happens next with the sensation. So, as you track and follow the sensation, you may notice something. It'll either stay the same or it might change. The sensation might move around or stretch out or get smaller, get lighter, get denser. It may change color, may go to a different part of your body. May grow or dissolve, or it may stay exactly the same. And if it's a lot to pay attention to sensation, give yourself a break. Take a pause, maybe go back to your anchor that you use in your meditation, or reorient to the room, have a soft gaze, or use your touch or listen to sound. There's no need to work hard at this practice. Let this attention to your body be kind and soft. There's nothing that your body has to do. It doesn't have to change. The sensations don't have to resolve. You're just noticing what sometimes arises when you have overwhelm, and you're giving your kind attention to it. And then the next inquiry will lead us into our resourcing practice. And the question to pose to your body, mind, and heart is, what am I needing right now? What does my body, my nervous system need? What does my heart need? What might my mind need right now? And so I'll give you a few ideas. So if you're still feeling kind of revved up and it's still hard to settle, make your exhales a little longer than your inhales. This helps slow your system down. You might want to consciously move a part that is tense, rotate shoulders, or open and close your jaw, or maybe massage your jaw. Maybe take some sighs. Maybe it's remembering that you're not alone right now. Perhaps your heart needs a hand over it, or just some words of acknowledgement of, oh, this has been a lot lately. Of course, you're feeling what you're feeling. This is a lot to hold. If your mind is real busy, see if you can come back again and again to a sensation in your body. Could be a pleasant sensation or a neutral sensation. If you're noticing that you're more in your kind of collapse, disconnect place from your overwhelm, you can make your inhales a little longer than your exhales. It gives you a possibility of bringing in a bit more energy into your system. You can sense your connection with others, like in the safety net poem I read at the beginning. What does my nervous system need right now? What would help me come into a bit more balance? And so here we can let our imagination open up, our creativity. What resources do you have in your life that you could imagine right now? Something that you do with yourself, with others, that we're going to spend some time embodying a resource and savoring it. So it can be anything. You can imagine singing or dancing or hugging a friend or creating art. I like to knit, and so I can imagine now that I'm knitting. You might have a pet in your home that you love to play with or pet. Maybe you love looking at the ocean or the sky. So, what I'd like you to do right now is to pick one resource that you have access to in your life. And I want you to imagine doing that thing right now. And I want you to kind of embellish the sensory qualities. Notice where you are doing this thing. Are you out in nature or sitting in your favorite chair? Are you with someone or having a quiet moment? Are you still or are you moving? What is the quality of light? What's the temperature? So we're stretching and filling in all the sensory components. And I want you to savor the goodness of this resource in your imagining of doing that at this time. And as it's kind of like we're pulling taffy, we're stretching or making pizza dough stretch, and we're stretching out the goodness of this beautiful resource that we have. And as you savor, what do you notice beginning to happen in your body? Maybe there's a softening, maybe there's a nice exhale, maybe there's a little smile, maybe there's a sigh, maybe the breath changes. It doesn't have to be a big shift, but just see if you notice any little something of, oh, this feels so good. Maybe you're taking a bath in your imagination, or smelling incense, or laughing with someone. This is a very powerful way that we can change some of these protective responses by embodying a resource, either in our imagination or when it's happening in real time. This is what helps our system come back into balance, back into regulation, get grounded, get a sense of calm, which will widen our window of capacity. Right? Our resilience grows the more that we resource ourselves. And it doesn't have to be big things. It can be the way the sunlight dances through your window, or a flower opening in a garden that you walk past. So take a few deep breaths as we begin to bring this practice to a close, and thank yourself for being willing to wait and be patient for the Zoom room to open, for being willing to turn your attention inwards, to notice what's happening in your body with overwhelm. This is not easy. To turn our attention to this. Sending kindness and goodness to everyone present today, because we're all going through stuff. We're all connected. I'll close with another poem, also by Rosemary Wotola Traumer, entitled In the Sacred Grove. Sometimes entering the sacred grove is easy as closing the eyes while you sit in a chair at home and let someone lead you there. Their voice, a path you follow. To a ring of trees with roots entwined, a sun-bright meadow in the middle, a group of other willing hearts who form a circle with you. How did it ever feel far away when the sacred grove is as close as breath, close as imagination? Real as an openness to wonder. I was there just this morning, my hands flat on the earth, sky reaching in through my crown. I was there even as I sat in my office chair. I was there. My hands held the hands of strangers beside me. Alone in my room, I was there. And after knowing the sacred grove, breath close, All day, I find it everywhere. So, welcome back, everyone. I am curious if anyone wishes to put in the chat or come on to speak about how you're feeling now compared to at the start, or if you had a challenge or difficulty with one of the practices, or anything that you noticed, any questions. So, Farah, I went into deep into vagal and fell more and more asleep. You talked about sequencing before. Can you speak more to it? Sequencing. I'm not sure I know exactly. If you could, Farah, if you could explain a little bit more, that would be helpful.
Hi,
Yeah.
Bon. So nice to see you.
Yeah.
So it sequencing was my term, but essentially you were talking about moving between the different states in order to and feeling what those feel like.
Okay, feeling like the sympathetic or the dorsal.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's not necessary, but it can be helpful just to kind of check in. Where am I at right now? And what is most predominant? And, am I in my ventral, beautiful, relaxed? It seemed like you went into a nice, safe dorsal with the restfulness that you felt, which is just beautiful. I don't usually have a protocol for going through the sequencing, but what I usually do is I notice, whoo, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Oh, what state? Oh, I'm in my sympathetic. Okay, so what does my nervous system need right now? Do I need to move or shake or exhale longer? And, to kind of weave myself back to my ventral vagal, kind of my most optimal state. So that's kind of how I use it, but I don't have like a rigid protocol with that.
Thank
So
you.
great question, you bet. So Susan felt calmer. James's practice gave me more space. I felt more relaxed and grateful. Yeah. When we have more space, we have greater capacity to hold what life throws at us. So, spaciousness is good. And I have to say, Hiroki, your beautiful smile during the practice was so delightful for me. So, thank you for your facial expressions as we did the practice. It was beautiful to see you move through. So, any questions or challenges that you felt with this? So, George, in these difficult times, I feel like I'm trying to drink water from a fire hydrant. I'm trying to shut down some of the noise. I felt like I made a little progress. Yes. So, George, you bring a beautiful, I didn't talk about this too much today, but your comment is allowing me to talk about titration. So titration is a bit at a time, and you're right, it is a fire hose of stuff that's happening, and we need something, but it often feels too much and too overwhelming. And so practicing the skill of titration means paying attention to how much we have capacity for in the moment and doing just enough, right? So that we're not overwhelmed. So it's, not too much news, right? Not too, not too much of anything. Or not too little. Maybe you've been alone all day and you need some connection, so you want to bring that in. And so it's pacing yourself, right? So that you don't get blown out of the water, literally with the overwhelm. So titration is, doing a little bit at a time. You can kind of think of what is the minimum effective dose of anything, How much sugar should I really be eating right now? What would be just a minimum dose where I don't, get my sugar high and then low, right? Or how much social contact, or how much, news, how much whatever. Taking a pause every hour at work just to slow down, check in. Am I going too fast, too slow, or am I just right? It's kind of like finding that Goldilocks zone. Not too hot, not too cold. What's your just right zone? So great. Thank you, George, for that beautiful question. And peace, Sterling. It brought clarity to me. I need to go back and spend time with my dying father instead of being miles away from him. Beautiful. Yeah. I'm sure that he will appreciate that connection. And sometimes to get that clarity and that insight that you had today, it requires us to slow down, be still, have a little spaciousness, savor a bit, and then we can get more in touch with our intuition. Did anyone have a favorite practice orienting, notice and name, tracking sensations, or resourcing? Which one did you enjoy the most today? So, the question, how do I know I have hunger in my body? Yeah. Hiroki, that's great. So, this is tapping into, it's kind of like orienting with sensations inside of your body. Right. So if you tend to eat a lot with overwhelm, some of you had mentioned that. What is happening now? How do I know I'm hungry? What does my body need for nurturance? What foods is my body craving? Or what foods would be most helpful for my body? Right. Sometimes we crave the sweets or the salt. Or the carbs, but we might need some protein, or we might. And so it's a beautiful question of what am I experiencing that is this hunger? And is it hunger for food or hunger for something else? Yeah, beautiful. Susan, resourcing, playing with my dog, having fun. Yes, boy, that is something we all need right now. Is we all need more fun. So resourcing, yeah, I love resourcing. If you I have this, I created a track on Insight Timer called Embodying Your Resources, where I guide through what we just did today with resourcing. And so if you want to be guided through it again, my link on Insight Timer, I'll put it in the chat again. I have so many recorded meditations. I have a tracking sensation. I have a pause practice. I have a pendulating practice if you need to get some flow back if you're feeling stuck. I usually do live sessions most Saturdays. So you can, and it's kind of like this almost. I give a little education, then we do a practice, and then we open it up for questions. So that's all available on the app. So Sandra, you liked orienting and resourcing. Yeah. And the orienting seems kind of silly, like, well, I know I'm in my room. I've lived in this house for such a long time, but it's looking with fresh eyes, right? And Animals do this all the time. They do this for safety. Like, oh, I heard a sound. Like, let me listen and look. And do I need to be worried about this, or is it just a noise? Okay. Right. And so orienting helps us not go into our fight, flight, and freeze if it's not necessary, because we're checking it out. Like, oh, that's somebody else's alarm. It's not my alarm. Or, oh, yeah, that's a car going by. So, Cynthia, the link is in Insight Timer. So, if you go to my page, which I gave you just a few chats ago, insighttimer.com, choosing mindfulness, if you follow me, and you can look at my bio, and it says events. There's a little menu on my page that has events, and if you click on that, it'll show up. So the time is usually Saturday. I'm not doing it this Saturday, but I'm doing it for the following 2 Saturdays. You can also just open the app, go to teachers, and then it'll open up with a little menu, and there's live events, and you can see all the live events that are happening at the time. And then you just click on that person, that teacher's little box, and you can join the live. It's really quite simple. So it's 11 Mountain Time, which would be 10 o'clock Pacific Time or 1 o'clock Eastern Time. And it's most Saturdays, not this coming Saturday, but I think on the 9th, I'm doing one on shifting from, oh no, to, oh, I wonder, right? It's going to be a curiosity practice. So it seems like there's not a lot of questions, which is good. I hope you're feeling settled. So maybe you can just do kind of a last check-in and maybe put a word or two in the chat of what you're noticing now in your body or your heart. And yes, while you're doing that, I will put in the poet. So calm. Dan, I'm not sure what you mean by formula.com, but so the poet is Rosemary Wotola Traumer. I read Safety Net and In the Sacred Grove. I feel calmer and grateful. Thanks, Anne. Letitia, relaxed. Douglas, peacefulness. Beautiful. How nice to move into your evening with this experience. Calm, Sudha. Yeah. And so, how did you change your state? What did you do today to change what you were feeling from when you first came on the session? Like, how did you do that? Right? You oriented, you noticed and named, you tracked your sensations, you were curious, you were kind. And you resourced yourself and savored a bit of goodness in your life. And you changed your state. This is powerful stuff, these mindfulness tools. Right? Yeah, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you. So we have 10 minutes left. Do you want to just sit again together? Or is there any other topic that you want? I am so open to being present for whatever it is that you need. Anyone have any wishes? Okay. Maybe would you be okay if we did sort of a loving kindness to people around the world that are going through a lot of overwhelm? Let's do that. Okay, so again, landing in our whatever posture feels comfortable. And feeling the fullness of having filled ourselves up with poetry, with connection, with kind attention to ourselves. And with this more full cup that we have, send out some intentions of safety, of ease, of food for those that are hungry. Whatever you want to gather from your heart and send forth into the world. May you be safe. May you have enough food. May you be treated with kindness and respect. So allow whatever words you want to say in your own heart and mind. We'll have some quiet for a few minutes for you to s we have a lot of collective energy we can send forth right now. May we all be safe. May we all have enough to live with ease. May we all feel enveloped in kindness and compassion and presence. So, thank you all for your practice and for our collective outpouring of metta to the world. And we'll see you down the line at another practice. So, thank you all for showing up.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.